Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Forking Around Town podcast. As I mentioned the last couple weeks, I'm really excited about today's guest. She is someone that I met at an event here in Tampa. It was a sober event, and she was so kind and friendly, and I just immediately was just kind of drawn to her by her smile. Her name is Chrissy Janiga. How are you, Chrissy?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh, anytime. And I wanted to have you on because, you know, not only, I don't know a whole lot about Chrissy. All of us are going to find out today, but you know, she's a coach. She is definitely living a life very similar to mine. I love the little bits and pieces about her that I have known from social media, and I'm honored to have you on today. So welcome.
Well, thank you so much.
No problem. Well, let's kind of start. I wanted to just kind of quickly give you a little bit of background on my story, because that's really how we connected, was through just the sober community. Mm-hmm. So a lot of you know I've been speaking on this for, gosh, the last year and a half, and I am on my, gosh, 19th month, actually, in one day. Oh. Yes, of being alcohol-free. I think we're very close in that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, it was just, I won't get into my whole story, but it was something that I was really starting to recognize that I needed to fix. And what started out as just a temporary break from alcohol turned out to be a completely different lifestyle. And I've met so many incredible people along the way. And as I've been on this journey, I'm constantly learning and understanding a lot of the reasons why I was turning to alcohol for so many situations and how it was really holding me back from living the life that I was meant to live. And so anyway, that's just a little bit about me. I don't want to bore you guys with my story, but I wanted to hear about you and how you got started on your sober journey.
And I think your story is, you know, very similar to mine as well, because I think when we drink all the time, or even on the weekends, I didn't drink every day. I think that we get used to that lifestyle and we don't sometimes know who we are. And I think that's a huge part of my story is I started drinking like a little bit in high school, stopped. But I remember every time I didn't drink, I was like, I like this better. I like this better. And I did like the normal things that everybody else, at least my perception that did, like in grad school, we drank, and then, you know, it tapered off a little bit. And then I met my husband and we lived on the lake. And at first it was not terrible. And then every weekend and switching to liquor and then all the wine. And then it started where I would black out. And then I started gaining weight and hating my body, hating myself, saying really mean things. And then it would be fine. So it was like very unpredictable. And throughout most of my 30s, I thought about not drinking. And it was in the context of, yes, being hungover or blacking out or doing something stupid or overeating, just doing something that where I'm like, well, if I wasn't drinking, I would maybe have done that. So, you know, my breaking point was really when we moved to Florida. And I could go into it in great detail too, but I do want to pass a couple of things so we have time as well. But my breaking point was we moved to Florida in 2021. You know, it's kind of like a vacation, drinking all the time, and it's exciting. And then I remember blacking out again and going, okay, on my 39th birthday, I actually decided I have to do something about it. I don't think I knew exactly what I was going to do, but I think deep down I wanted to quit forever, but I don't think I could say that at that time. So in January of 2022, I started listening to this Naked Mind book, and you know, got really immersed in learning about the alcohol culture. And it was about 6 months, and then I drank again, not because I wanted to, because I gave into peer pressure and what other people wanted. And then I drank a little bit sporadically, really cut down, only allowed myself to have two drinks on vacation, which actually sucked. It was worse than just being been sober. Right. Moderation's not it's a challenge. But my sleep was impacted. You know, I couldn't drink as much as I used to. Just nothing was working out. And the last time I drank, I went out with my husband. I was really stressed from work. And I remember thinking, he wants me to drink. He wants me to drink, which is not true, but I thought that. So I drank 2 glasses of wine. And because I haven't drank that much for all those months, I had GI issue. I was an emotional wreck because I was stressed and didn't deal with my actual emotional state. I remember crying. I remember not sleeping well. I woke up the next day and I'm like, I can't do this anymore. This is insane. But it was all the times I drank that led me, even when I was trying to go on my sober journey, it was those times that I decided to drink and take a break that I was more mindful of how I felt. That really got me to the breaking point that I can't do this anymore. And then I just want to share one more thing because I think it's really cool because I've heard a lot of people have these things that happen is I'm like, I was kind of vibing. I was like, I'm done drinking. I'm so excited. I was taking a walk and like have lots of intuitive hits on walks. And I heard myself say, doors will open if you stop drinking alcohol. And it like caught me off guard because it was my voice. And so like what's kind of kept me grounded, even when I'm emotional, because even when you stop drinking, you still have shit that happens. It's something that's helped me grounded me, like, just keep doing this. Things will happen for you. I have to keep following this path. And it's been really, really amazing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, I mean, like I said, myself, very similar. I never really drank when I was in high school, but I started working in restaurants in high school, and that evolved from, you know, kind of a step above a fast food is where I was working when I was like 16 and 17. And then I went into full service and I started hanging out with, you know, staff members from work, and everybody would go out and drink after. And I was always very careful just because, you know, one thing about me, I would never drink and drive. I mean, there was a couple times we've all been there, but I was really careful about that. So I never wanted to go out and drink after work and drive home. So I would make arrangements. Okay, well, I'm going to take, in those days, a cab before Uber existed. But it became habitual from working in the restaurant industry because a lot of people really do that. And it just went on for years, never thought much of it. And then I just started realizing that I was leaning on it more, and I hit a point after my mom passed away in 2019 and then the pandemic, that's where it just really kind of got out of control for me. And I would take breaks, but then I would go back, and yeah, it was just different this last time. And same situation to you. I felt that I had to do it, and I had such incredible strength that I had never had before. I completely lost my desire for it, and I've never had it back. So I'm very happy about that.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
I've read statistics about the pandemic too, just especially with women as well. And I think the women drinkers with mommy wine culture and just the fitness with wine, even if you're not a mom, it doesn't matter. They have the fitness with wine. And just going on a cruise recently and watching the culture of it, it's such a different place to be at. Not a judgmental place, but I can see why it's hard to quit drinking for a lot of people and why it's so glamorized and why we don't know that it's a class 1 carcinogen. I didn't know that. So there's just a lot of eye-opening things. But the things that I teach people and my very much of my own experience is that when we are drinking on weekends, we don't have to drink every day to still, you know, not feel fulfilled, right? So I feel like drinking hides a lot of like who we are, what we want in life. We get used to the mundane and getting up doing the same thing is that we're like not fulfilled sometimes, and drinking masks it, right? So like, what do I have to look forward to on Friday? I get to have my drinks on the weekends. And then we're not really addressing sometimes that, oh, I really want to do some more things with my life. I really want to quit my job and do something else. Or maybe we don't even know. I didn't know I was going to ever write books. Like it wasn't something that I never, like wasn't naturally something I ever thought about. So I think when we give up alcohol and we follow our intuition, there's a lot of things that we find out, and it really is hard sometimes to figure out who you are and some of the traits you don't love. But in order to change and grow, we have to have this period where we learn something about ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know for me, I mean, I'm still going through things and learning about myself, but I realized that I definitely was never living up to my potential, because ever since I just got alcohol out of my life, my productivity has gone so high in so many different areas. And the first thing that definitely comes to mind is fitness. You know, I've never been so dedicated in my life as I am now. And I think, gosh, if I would have done this in my 20s or my 30s, you know, what would I be like now? But yeah, it's really been an eye opener. It really has. So I'm very, very blessed to have finally gotten to this point. It's definitely made a difference. Yeah. So I was going to ask you, you know, you and I connected through Sober in the City. Do you have any other groups that you've been a part of? Anything that you might recommend? Because I'm always looking for groups of like-minded individuals that I can just kind of, you know, get to know and collaborate with.
Yeah. You know, I've joined programs and paid money before. But I know that there's meetups, and more in Tampa than anything, like different women meetups. But I think too, I mean, I know that you noticed it, but I think the Instagram world's kind of this big thing. And now there's retreats for like, for, I know that a coach that I worked with does sober retreats. So, I don't know a ton of groups locally. You know, I've actually thought about, because I have a Facebook page, it's a Women in Sobriety, but Facebook pages or and Facebook groups are kind of, it's hard with not actually interacting with people.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
One-on-one. But actually I thought about doing like a some type of group where we meet up and just do it every once in a while and just connect with people, because I think the connection in the sober space is really important, and a lot of people feel very lonely. And they also don't feel sometimes connected to AA. And so they're like, that's how I felt. I didn't feel like I wanted to do AA. I didn't really feel like connected to that. But I was like, damn, I'm lonely. And I didn't, I think what I would recommend to people too is in the beginning, find some type of support, whether you pay for it or you don't, it doesn't matter, but get a support, because it will make a difference. I think I needed to go on my journey, but I don't think I would have drank again if I would have had some level of support and someone to balance me out.
No, I agree. And one thing I'm trying to work on, and I'll definitely keep you in the loop, but you know how there's happy hours everywhere all over Tampa, different restaurants, like $5 glasses of wine. I'm trying to organize one where it's mocktails and just have little meetups like that throughout Tampa Bay. So I've been kind of doing a little bit of research and reaching out to a few places. So I'll definitely keep you in the loop on that.
Yes.
We could go all over. I mean, because you're up in kind of the Newport Richey area.
Okay. I am.
That, which is great. I mean, we could just do it all around St. Pete, Clearwater, Tampa, Brandon, Riverview. I think it would be awesome. But yeah, I think another reason I failed so many times is I didn't really feel that I had anyone I could talk to about it, because all my friends would be like, well, why are you giving up drinking? Or just have vodka soda. It's not going to hurt you if you're trying to lose weight. And nobody supported me with what I was doing. And I was definitely alone when I made this decision and went through this. And I think I had just reached a boiling point. I was done with toxic people, just doing these things that were not healthy for me. And I've always been independent, but this time, like I said, it was so different and I was able to do it. But I understand why so many people struggle, because they really do feel alone. And it's hard sometimes to open yourself up and admit that you're struggling with something, you know, people, because you're afraid of people judging you. I was always like that.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. 100%. Like, what's wrong with me? I'm working with one woman and she's like, why can't I drink like everybody else? And I'm like, it's not that we can't drink like everybody else. I think that's a mute point, because we're all built differently. It's how it makes us feel and what our body's telling us and our minds are telling us. I think we have to really turn inward, but we do need support, because like, if I don't have anybody and I feel alone and judged and I want to fit in, how hard is it going to be to resist something, right? Because you have a physical dependency. Even if somebody's not a everyday drinker, yes, there's different levels, but you can get physically and emotionally, you know, addicted to alcohol. So, you know, I think there's different reasons we do it. And I think people that don't try to stop drinking, it's not that they aren't supportive and wonderful sometimes, but they don't understand because they're not on the same journey. Like the things we learn, the things we have to do differently, like everybody almost in my life drinks and they're very supportive. And yes, sometimes people tailor certain things to support me. I don't care if people drink around me, but there is a level where you're like, okay, I'm done, or I'm going to go home. And, or it's like, you need a balance of the sober community. And that's what's important to me and why I like doing what I'm doing, is because it also gives me a balance and keeps me going, because it's so much easier to do what everyone is doing versus what you really want to do.
Exactly. You know, it's really funny. I was at an event the other night, and it was kind of a press event for a food and wine event coming up in Tampa. And they didn't really serve a lot of food, but it was all liquor. So they had two different bars set up, and it really hit me that night. The only options for anyone that didn't drink was a soda, or they had some bottles of mineral water. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice if they started creating more mocktails at these events? And that's something I really want to push for. But I was just thinking about that, because I must have been asked 6 or 7 times why I wasn't drinking. And I thought to myself, I'm so tired of that question.
Yeah, but keep normalizing it. I went on a cruise, and boy, that's, we wonder why it's interesting. You know, you wonder, you know, we subconsciously get programmed when we're young that everybody drinks, it looks exciting. Mm-hmm. So I think, so it's a deep thing. It is. But they did have a mocktail. I was very excited about it. I can't tell you how many times they've told me, do you know there's alcohol in that? Or there's no alcohol in that. And I'm like, I'm not 4. I can read.
Yeah, right.
But I'm like, yes, I know there's no alcohol. That's why I'm ordering it. But yeah, multiple times. And so it's interesting. It's just the culture that, oh, wait, you know, you're not drinking, or it's not alcoholic. So I should probably tell you that in case you can't read.
Yeah. I definitely do see a shift, though. I work from home, so I always have like the news on in the background during the day. And they've been doing a lot of features in Tampa Bay. Urban Flow, which you remember from the event we were at. If you haven't been to their place, I highly recommend it. It's same. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. But they are always at different events, and I love what they're doing for the community. I think it's great. And I think we will start to really see more of a shift in that, because I've seen probably 3 to 4 news segments since January just about places that are really catering to people that don't drink. So it's coming. I definitely think it's going to really be a lot more, you know, in the future than it is now. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Definitely. I agree. I think it is becoming more normalized. And the more that we normalize it and not make it seem icky, it will. The sober movement, I think, in the next 5 to 10 years will explode. Mm-hmm. It's already changing. There's already more non-alcoholics, mocktails. You know, there's the younger folks that are starting to kind of get on the health train. So I do think there's some really positive things happening. And I do hope it continues to normalize that, you know, you don't have to be whatever they say, rock bottom, but you can, you know, and I also think a lot of people think about not drinking. It's not something to be ashamed of, you know, and so I think if we can, you know, discuss it differently, it makes people go, yeah, I've been thinking about this. Okay, there's not something wrong with me. It's normal to think that alcohol makes me feel like crap. Yeah.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask you is about becoming an author. I think that whole story is fascinating. And I just wanted to know like how you got started and just all that good stuff, because I'm very intrigued.
Yes. So again, taking a walk. And I did meet somebody. She was doing a group for people that were sober that wanted to work on purpose. And so it did get introduced to me. But when you have something that's introduced to you and you put it in your forefront, I always tell people, we don't have to know our purpose or fulfillment. Like, you don't have to like sit there and think about it all day. It's literally, but if you put it in your forefront, like, okay, I'm interested in this. So I was on a walk just thinking about purpose. And I had the thought to write a book. And then I thought I had a thought to write a children's book. And then it just kind of developed from there. And I really like writing, and it kind of just makes me really fulfilled. So it really was just a thought. And this is where I say, I love talking about intuition, is you don't have to do everything you think about, but sometimes it's the limiting beliefs. If I would have said, which I could have said, I can't write a book. I'm not an English major. I have no clue what I'm doing. I would never have done it, right? So it's like, I think it's the thing is, when we have the thoughts, is not always dismiss every thought and go, maybe, what if I took a course? What if I did this? You know, what if I, you know, there's so much stuff nowadays. I mean, you can get it edited, and you don't have to know how to do all the things. We all have our zone of genius. Mine is not editing.
I know, the same way. I love that. I think that's so wonderful. Yeah, that's just an example of just, you know, when you take these steps to take care of yourself, then things just naturally start to flow. And that's one thing I've noticed as well. I mean, I've noticed a lot of shifts in my career life as well. I mean, I did start working at the company I'm at now before I decided to go on this journey. But ever since I've been, you know, living the sober lifestyle, I just feel like so many other doors have been opening. And you have to be receptive. You have to be welcoming to them. That's one thing I struggle with. Sometimes I find myself getting caught in a rut where I'll think, oh, why did this happen? And I can't do this. But the minute I shift my thinking, and it's so important and it's hard to do, but I practice it every single day. And I'm going to find it and send it to you. But I found this video on Instagram, and this woman was talking about, you know, visualizing what you want. And she was saying that, like, I don't know if you've seen it, but she talks about a balloon where before you go to bed at night, think about a balloon, think about the color, the texture, just really visualize it. And then she goes, tell me the next day if you see any balloons. And all these people were saying how they were. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it's and there's another woman, she talks about like butterflies, and it's with the reticular activating system. So like, and I think this goes to show too that if we think, you know, really negative thoughts all the time, we're gonna see that, right? Versus like, I think, and I'm not saying being false positive. I mean, we're allowed to have emotions and be sad. But if we notice a pattern, like, okay, I'm being really negative, how do I shift this to have a little bit more of a better feeling? Because then again, you know, and I'm sure, you know, in your journey too, it is sometimes it's, you're going to have your days, but you got to sometimes shift it. So you're not having all the days that where you're like not feeling good. But yeah, it's a thing too. And there's a lot of different thoughts too about visualization, your manifesting and, you know, and thinking about a life you want to bring to your forefront. So that's very cool.
Yeah. I love it. It's so fascinating. Gosh, awesome. So now, did you go to the Sober in the City retreat? I know we had chatted about that when I first met you here in Tampa.
I did. I went to the one that was in Tampa. So okay. It was easy for me to go. And yeah, it was a really nice event.
Oh my gosh. I saw they have one coming up in Seattle, and I actually have family out there, but I'm really sad I missed the one in Tampa. I had some other stuff going on that weekend. I couldn't make it work, but I definitely want to try to go to one of their events. So what was the biggest takeaway from that? Or I don't know if you went the whole time or just for one day.
Yeah, I went Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
I think that it's really cool. Like, one is it's like, there's a lot of sober people and it's inspiring and it makes you go, this is, I think anything you go to that's inspiration, you're like, yep, this is where I need to be. But there were networking opportunities too, like, you know, with people that are doing amazing things and talking to them and kind of getting in their world. And again, it just opens more doors for the sober community because we need more of us that can influence people and give different perspectives. There was authors there that have written books and, you know, yeah, it was just really a cool thing. They had breakout sessions and just ways to network with people. So it's very cool. I would highly recommend it. They're a great bunch of people that run it too. I'm not sure if I'm going to go to Seattle when I want to, but I'm not sure I'll be able to. But if I can, it'd be neat to do that and not have to drive home.
I know that's always the hardest part. I get tired. I don't want to drive sometimes.
Same. And you know, Tampa sometimes can be fun.
Oh, the traffic. And I know, tell me about it. Now, I love to ask this question to anyone who's given up alcohol. Have you noticed that there might be certain foods or things that you always crave now? Like for me, it's coffee. I mean, I've always loved coffee, but I feel like I drink it a little bit more now than ever. I don't know. It's kind of strange, but.
So For me, I've had to, you know, if I'm going to be honest, like, so I've always had kind of this emotional eating issue. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed now that I'm not drinking, it's still there a little bit and it's due to stress. Yeah. So that's been something that's been interesting. So all the things you find out about yourself, mm-hmm. but it's good. You can change it. But as far as craving, God, I like so many things. I would probably say, although I've reduced it a little bit, probably, yeah, definitely coffee and caffeine. Like I've noticed myself having more of, and so, you know, it's always a balance, but yeah, I would say probably same thing. And I like sweets. I like everything though. That's the problem.
I know.
Like I'm like you, I love food. So it's and if anyone's listening that loves food, the really cool thing that I read is that people often think you need to pair your wine with this, that, the other. And when you actually do your research, is that alcohol actually tastes your, like changes your taste buds. It actually like dulls them. So then you're like, well, it doesn't do what it says it does. It doesn't. Right. So pairing things isn't actually like as enjoyable than not drinking, because then you really get to taste things and remember it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I remember just being part of the food community in Tampa, and just, it's changed a little bit over the years, but like you go to an event, like a restaurant invites a bunch of us to come out and they're giving you cocktails the minute you walk in the door, and then they're constantly pouring wine. I felt that I started just, it was all the drinks were the highlight for most of us, and we would all just be drinking and drinking. And that was kind of what contributed to all of this for me. But I do think back and I think, gosh, you know, if I wouldn't have been drinking during that time, I would have gotten more out of it. You know, I would have probably done more stories on Instagram. And I just feel that, you know, that's one thing about me that's really changed. I'm focused so much on the food now when I go to an event, because I'm not, you know, participating in the alcohol portion of everything. But yeah, it's definitely been a game changer for me. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, last thing, and I appreciate you taking your time. I wanted to just ask you a little bit about your coaching and how anyone who's listening could, you know, reach out to you and learn more.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always love talking to people, regardless if people work with me or not. So I like to have people feel like they have a safe space. But I use my name. I don't have like a sober handle, but I'm just at Chrissy Janiga. It's Janiga across all platforms of social media. And so they can reach out to me that way. I have a website, which is www.chrissyjaniga.com. So yeah, they can just reach out to me. And then for my coaching, so I'm into manifestation, obviously, in the woo, lots of mindset stuff. And I also have done therapy before. So I'm not against working with men, but I primarily work with women, and I help women work on, you know, the sobriety. But a lot of times it's the mindset around not feeling like they're missing out, changing that. And then also working on the emotions that come, you know, now that we don't know, you know, we're not drinking, and how to deal with that. And then also dreaming big and working on the limitless possibilities that you can have, because for so long, even regardless of alcohol, a lot of us have limiting beliefs, don't believe in ourselves, and then we dull it out with alcohol or try to get life to be more exciting. And we just think about the things, or we don't even know what's possible. So I really love helping people get more fulfillment out of life and not just kind of exist, but to actually live.
Oh gosh, I love that. Yes, I definitely need to talk with you more about that, you know, off camera. I think that's wonderful. Because I struggle with some of those things, you know. Sometimes it's, you know, hard in this content creator world. You know, I've been doing it for a while, but I'm also one of the older ones. And sometimes I feel a little out of place when I go to events and everyone's in their 20s, and it kind of gets me feeling down, and I have to get over that. So that's something I'm struggling with, and I'm really trying to get better at. So.
It is. And I think that, you know, I think it's real too, because we all are going to go through different phases in our lives. And yes, being the content creator and all these young people and can I do this? But you can, because I also think it's really cool to have people that aren't in their 20s that also can change their lives, have really relatable things happen to them. And it's, you know, sometimes I've thought about like, do I want to be doing all this? It's, I have a full-time job on top of doing this. And then I'll have somebody reach out to me and be like, thank you so much for what you do. Or you helped me. I wouldn't have been able to do this. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to keep trucking along. So I always tell people when they're feeling like, oh, I just can't do it. Take time for yourself, but also always go into your why. Why are we doing this? And we don't know the lives that we could touch. And sometimes we get into our head and it's not always true.
Right. Absolutely. No, I love that. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. I've been wanting to do this since I met you. So I'm glad we finally were able to connect. And for all of you guys listening, I will have a full link to this episode on my Instagram at Tracy Forks Around Town. I'll have links for her website and, you know, social handles so you can follow her as well. Thank you again for your time. I look forward to getting to know you better over, you know, the next couple months. I'm excited.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. And everyone, don't forget, a new episode comes out every Friday on radioinfluence.com or wherever else you like to download and listen to your favorite podcast. Have a great weekend and happy Easter, everyone.